Kin saw a black shape spiral down out of the sky and perch on the dome. "That does it," she said. "Marco, I'm going in." The Kung's answer was a strangled grunt. Kin spun round in the saddle. A few metres away, Silver was rearing up on the carpet, the fur of one arm bright orange where it had caught the thrust of the sword. Her hand was around Marco's waist, while he had two hands gripping her throat, and between them the sword screamed as they wrestled. The carpet drifted on past. Kin got a brief glimpse of Silver's contorted face, twisted around a saliva-barred mouth. Kin grabbed the lamp. Azrafel appeared, standing on air, and watched the silent fighters with interest. "Separate them," Kin ordered.
"No."
Marco somersaulted away from Silver, caught her arm in three of his, and threw her over his shoulder. His leg bones bent like springs. Then Silver was over the edge of the carpet, but not falling. She hung at an impossible angle in its safety field, snarling and thrashing at the air.
"No? I dare not go closer to the dome."
"I have the lamp, demon.
I suggest you do not use it."
Kin saw Marco lift the sword and hesitate. Silver picked up leverage on sheer fresh air and hurtled towards him. Shand, Kung, and carpet disappeared. Kin stared at the empty space. Below, the sea roared. There was nothing else around but sea, sky, and dome, and the horse-faced demon hovering over nothing at all. Finally, she said, "Demon, what happens if I drop the lamp in the sea? The truth now?"
"Sometimes fish or crabs will brush against it. Their wishes are simple and easily fulfilled."
"What happened to the carpet?"
"It disappeared,"
said the demon uncertainly. "I know. Why?"
"Things that approach too close to the centre of the world do so."
"You didn't tell us."
"You didn't ask me."
"Where do they disappear to?"
"To? They just disappear. That is all I know."
"You'll know more soon," said Kin. She shoved the lamp back into her pocket and urged the horse forward towards the dome. Azrafel whimpered. Presently Kin disappeared. Kin awoke at the heart of a galaxy strained through a ruby. Touch told her that she was lying on a floor like polished metal, and an old but hitherto unnamed sense assured her that she was inside something. A building. Maybe a cave. Around her, a billion pinpoints of red light glowed. They spread away from her in complicated constellations, climbed the invisible wall tens of metres away, and met in the blackness overhead. Sometimes the pattern changed instantly, to be replaced by one equally red and forbidding. It was a pointillist's vision of hell. Then Kin moved. Stampede. The lights poured down the walls and clustered around her. She stood up and stamped her foot experimentally. Experiment was the word, and she clung to it. Be rational. Don't go mad. She thought she had been prepared for anything. Robots, lasers, long-headed disc builders in silver suits, intelligent slimes, anything. But not these lights. It wasn't as though they lit anything but themselves.
Get me out of here, she growled.
Flash. Now she was standing in an arched corridor, her nostrils filled with the hot metal, ozone and oil smell of machinery. The tunnel was brightly lit by a continuous strip overhead. Pipes and cables snaked along the walls, and the floor was a linear maze of rails. There were distant bangs and thumps, and everywhere there was the hum of hurtling electrons. Kin picked a direction and walked, carefully avoiding anything that looked highly electric. So, she told herself, this is the works. I'm down among the cogwheels of the universe. But it's all wrong. The technology looks ancient. Cogwheels is about right. Good grief. She was halfway past an alcove giving off from the main tunnel. There was a movement in there. Kin started to run for cover, then thought, what the hell? It was a robot. A big one, shaped the best shape for a robot, square. One Waldo arm was groping in a square hole in the alcove's metal wall. A square panel lay on the floor. The arm clicked back. It held something small that Kin couldn't quite see properly, which it dropped into a hopper bolted onto the robot's side. A drawer slid out just above the hopper, and this time Kin got a good view of the objects nestling in its padded interior. The arm waved uncertainly above them, then selected one gingerly and carried it into the hole. While the machine was engaged in its mysterious activities, Kin strolled